If you are visiting with us this morning, I want you to know that we have that many people join every Sunday. So I'm working on next week, so you need to let me know, you know, who's going to join next week. No, I'm just kidding. That was quite a celebration. We are going to have several more joining next week, so if you're interested in being a part of that or accepting Christ, being baptized, any of those things, please come and let me know that. If you're a visitor this morning, there's a blue card in the seat in front of you. I welcome you to fill that out. Many of the families that joined this morning, that's how they started getting to know us, was by filling this out. And if you want to be on our email list, please check that box there, and we would love to know who you are and love to get to know you better. Glad that you're here this morning. Hope, above all things, hope that you feel the presence of Christ in this place and you feel loved by his people. So if you would turn with me to Matthew 9. Matthew chapter 9. In verse 35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you have been invited, and we know that you are here. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Did everybody get their ticket this morning? Did you get your ticket? Tim, you got some helpers back there, some little elves. You get a bonus for coming to church this morning. Yeah, all right, just spread out. Get them out there quickly, kids. Utes. I know y'all seen the movie. I know you have. Bunch of heathens. Quickly. Well, everybody, this is a bonus that you get for coming to church today. We'll make sure everybody gets one of these. Is this the same way, the same speed you use to clean your rooms? You just have one speed? Yeah, they wake up with a new speed every day, don't they, Kevin? Mate, we want to bless you with this gift today. So we want everybody to have one. If you run out of people over there, come over here on the front. They hadn't got their tickets yet. You didn't get a ticket? We're missing a ticket right there. Some more over here in the front. If you hadn't got a ticket, raise your hand. We want everybody to get this whole front section. We attack them, youth. Attack them. Are y'all Tim trained people? Is that what it is? All right. We want everybody to get their ticket. All of y'all are good, right? You got your ticket, so you're set for all eternity, right? All right. You didn't realize that you were going to get an extra blessing this morning by coming to Wiley Methodist Church, did you? All right, as y'all are finishing up those last tickets over there, let's hear it for the youth. Yeah. Now, here's what you do. That is your ticket to heaven. Now, I want you to put it in your pocket. And you have to keep it for, you know, forever. Obviously, you don't want to lose that. Put it in your pocket. Put it in your purse if you're a lady and you don't have pockets on your skirt or whatever. Put it in your purse. But you got to keep up with that. Now, the unfortunate part is we've only got enough for one each. That's all we have. But everybody's got their ticket, so we're all good, right? We got our ticket to heaven. We're good to go. Jody, you got yours? Okay. Now, I wish that I had enough so that you could share that with somebody else. I wish we had enough, but that's all we could produce. Is anybody getting the sarcasm of this little illustration yet? That's so unlike me to be sarcastic. We continue the sermon series today. In fact, complete the sermon series today. I love series, Pursuing the Heart of God in All Things, where we're talking about the vision of our church, and we've talked about how it all starts with not only our love for God, but His great love for us, demonstrated through the person of Jesus Christ. And how that, out of that, it's like dropping a rock in a pond. Out of that love He has for us, we love Him back. And then we love His people. And finally today, I love to offer Christ. I love to offer Christ. I know that's a goofy illustration with the little ticket to heaven. And please don't go tell people, like, they think if you have this ticket at Wiley Methodist, you're going to... That pastor's insane over there. That part may be true, but I don't believe that. But isn't that what we do so many times with our faith? I got mine. I'm good. I got mine. You're on your own. I want to tell you something, church. If Christ has really changed our life, we want everybody to hear it. We want everybody to know that. We want to know that He offers that for them as well. And I said it, I think, last week, that the problem is we get so, you know, one of Satan's biggest weapons against us is busyness. He gets us so busy with all stuff in our life. And a lot of it's good stuff. It's not all bad stuff. It's a lot of it's good stuff. He gets us so busy that we don't have time for even our own relationship with Christ, much less to share it with anybody else. But I just want to tell you that we have that, what's represented in that little ticket. We have the gift of life. His name is Jesus. We should be passionate about offering Christ. Now, we do that in different ways. I'm not saying that we should all be preachers or we should all be, you know, knocking on doors and walking neighborhoods. You know, maybe that's somebody's lives. But perhaps it's just that person at work that's struggling that just needs an encouraging word. Perhaps it's just you're more a one-on-one kind of a person. God creates us all differently, and He creates us. But I'm telling you, the purpose we exist. Are you ready? I've said it before. The purpose we exist is to bring glory to God. That's why we're here. That's why we're walking on this earth, is to bring glory to God with our lives. And one of the things, we have the secret of an abundant life. We have the secret. And it is irresponsible at best and mean-hearted at worst when we don't share it. I'm just saying, if I had the cure to cancer in my pocket and I just hung on to it for in case I got cancer, in case I needed it, how irresponsible would that be? We have the secret of abundant life. His name is Jesus. This passage tells us so much about the heart of Christ. Starts off, to offer Christ, the first thing, to offer Christ, we must have a heart for hurting people. And if you think there's not hurting people, just open your eyes. They're everywhere. Hurting people are everywhere. I see it all the time. I feel so blessed because a lot of times hurting people come to me. As a pastor, they come to me. And I don't ever see that as a burden. I always see that as a blessing. I always see that, what an incredible blessing to be able to offer the hope of Jesus Christ to hurting people. Jesus said it this way. When he saw the crowds, so Jesus is, he's out preaching, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. He's healing people. He's doing all of these things. He said when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. You know any harassed and helpless people in your lives? I mean, we have the answer. We have our ticket. But it's not about getting your ticket so that you can be in heaven someday. It's about knowing that, Christ is the answer. Christ offers peace. A few weeks ago, I did, and I spoke about this a few weeks ago right after it happened, but I did a funeral for a friend of mine from 40 years ago that I grew up with. His son, he found his son, this is brutal, but he found his son hanging in a shed in their backyard. 25, I believe, was how old his son was. How do you face stuff like that without Jesus? You know, and I've heard about it, and I reached out to him, and I mean, you know, obviously when you're going through a trauma like that, man, we need Jesus. We need it for everyday life, but when you're facing big, real stuff, there is nothing else I had to offer him. Nothing else. I couldn't go over there and go, here's $5,000. Will this fix things? Will this take care of it? Will this help? No, I couldn't go over there and say, you know, man, dude, you know, I know a lot of people. We can get you in the, connect you in the right places and get you really popular and where everybody will like you and all this stuff. It's like, no. I had one thing to offer him, the hope of Jesus. And thankfully, his son was a believer in Jesus Christ. His son struggled with some mental illness, which led to this act. But his son was a believer in Jesus Christ. And his son, through this tragic death, is drawing now this friend of mine to Christ. When we have nothing else to reach out to in those circumstances but Jesus. He's it. He's all we've got. And yet we spend our life pursuing everything else. Don't we? We pursue the dollar. We pursue the better position, career position. We pursue popularity. We pursue fun. We pursue all of these different things. And when it comes right down to it, none of those things satisfy. I didn't bring the slides this morning. I've shown them before, but there's a man that for years and years and years, he's been studying snowflakes. Isn't that a bizarre thing to do for like 40 years? And he's got this some kind of a scope thing that when the snowflake hits and he can actually take a picture, an image of the snowflake. And they're, if you hadn't seen the pictures, I can send you some. But they're incredible. I mean, God is a wild, crazy, you know, masterpiece maker. And these snowflakes, none of them are the same. You've heard that. None of them are the same. They're all different shapes and beautiful. And did you know, I think it was in 1940, in the 40s, we figured out how to make man-made snow. And so I show these slides of the snowflakes and how beautiful they are. And then I show this a picture of man-made snow, and it's just like, it's just a glob, you know, just look. You didn't know that was in the Bible, did you? It's there. It's just this big glob. But yet we pursue the man-made stuff, don't we? The only thing that satisfies is Jesus Christ. That's it. Why do we pursue that other stuff? Jesus saw the crowds and he had compassion on them. He saw that because they were in pursuit of all this other stuff. And he saw them and they were harassed and helpless. And his heart broke for them. Does our heart break for those that don't have Jesus? Or do we have our ticket? I got my ticket. You got your ticket? Let's put it in my pocket. I don't want to lose it. Jesus has a heart for hurting people. We should have a heart for hurting people. One of my favorite passages is when Jesus in Matthew 11, he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Rest for your souls. Isn't that what we really need, church? Rest for our souls. Am I the only one that this world is hard for? I mean, that gets that, it's like, oh my gosh. Incredibly hard. Incredible blessing. Life is a blessing, and I enjoy life, but man, it's sometimes hard. Many of you have experienced the hard part. Secondly, to offer Christ, we must realize we all need Jesus. You know, I get kind of crazy sometimes, and I mostly get crazy. I don't, you know, when people are lost, you anticipate that they're going to behave in a lost way. You know, but when I hear Christians, when I hear especially coming out of the pulpit, craziness coming out of the pulpits of our nation, I sometimes get crazy, man. I just lose it. It's like, man, no, we need Jesus. He is the answer to everything that ails us. Everything that we will face. We need Jesus. And you hear it from the pulpit even. It's craziness. Just, oh, well, you know, it's all the same God. You know, we're all just kind of getting there different ways and all this. Like, no, Jesus said, I'm the way. And if there's other ways to get to the Father, why did my Savior have to hang on a cross? He hung on a cross because of you and me, because he loves us, because he knew that the only way to reconcile man to God was for somebody to pay the price that was due. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus said, I'm going to pay that for you. I'm going to take your filthy rags, not of the worst of us, but of the best of us. That's what Scripture says, that our best acts are but filthy rags. Because see, we have this condition of sin that when we're born in the world, when we're conceived, we just have this stench of sin is on us. It has to be dealt with. Jesus dealt with it on the cross, and that is the hope that we have for a hurting world. We must be a church. We must be a people that's offering that to those around us. If we're not doing that, we're wasting our time. All of these people that joined this morning, we're wasting our time. All of us. Because otherwise, without Christ, we're just a big social club. If we don't offer Christ, we have nothing. And I'm not down on any of the, you know, the social organizations of our city. My dad was in the Lions Club, and great organization, and I know there's Kiwanis and all of these different things that we do and so forth. But we offer Christ. We're not just getting together to fellowship and maybe clean up these next 2 miles of the road and do some nice things. Those are good things. We have Christ. That's the purpose of our church. It's the purpose of us as followers of Christ, is to offer him to those who don't have him. Third thing, to offer Christ, we must sacrificially respond to the need. Jesus said in this passage we read today, he's telling his disciples, he sees these people who... He sees them as harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he says, look out there. The harvest is plentiful. There's all sorts of broken. That's what Jesus is saying. There's all sorts of broken people all around us. He's telling the disciples, pray that God would send out workers to share hope. Pray that the Lord would send out workers into the harvest field. This is another one of my favorite passages. Comes out of 2 Corinthians 5. And I speak of this often because it's really a very special scripture in my heart. But it speaks of 2 Corinthians 5. Talks about us being Christ's ambassadors. That we're his representatives in a hurting world. And listen to this in verse 14. For Christ's love compels us. Hello. Christ's love compels us. That's what drives us. I want to tell you, I'm just being real with you. If it wasn't for Christ, I would not be married to that sweet lady right there. We would have parted ways years ago. I would not have so many blessings in my life. I would not be standing here with the opportunity to share the good news to you friends. I don't even know if I'd be alive. Christ's love compels us. And the rest of that, he goes on and says, for Christ died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him. See, our lives is no longer our own. We have died with Christ, and therefore now we live with Christ. We've participated, and that's the symbolism of baptism, is this participating in the death of Christ. We die to our sins, and then celebrating to new life in Christ. We die to our sins so that we can live a life for Christ. Christ's love compels us. Is it compelling you, church? Just answer that in your own heart. Does it drive you? Little things. I do so many knucklehead things when I don't get it right. But this week I was walking into Best Buy. It's little things sometimes, churches. I was walking into Best Buy, and there was a little lady, and she was an older lady, and she was carrying a printer. It wasn't a huge printer, but I could tell it was kind of heavy for her. And she's out walking across the parking lot with this printer, going to be returning it, and I just went over and I said, can I carry that in for you? And her face lit up. And I think she probably thought I was going to mug her or something, but I don't know. But can I carry that for you? And she was like, oh, okay. And I carried it in, and she said, I'm returning it. And the man said, it goes over there. And I took it over and sat on the counter. And I just patted her on the shoulder, and I said, you have a nice day. You know, like I said, I do a lot of things where I don't honor Christ, but just little things. I hope that lady knew I was a Christian. Not that I was a pastor. I hope she knew I was a follower of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, who cares? Who cares if that lady's, if that's heavy for her? Christ's love compels us to love others. And finally, the fourth thing, to offer Christ, we must serve in Christ's power and authority. You know, our vision statement, which I'm going to end up kind of going back over that, but in a minute. But the vision statement, love God, love people, offer Christ, comes from the first two come from the Great Commandment. Somebody just, so you don't have to quote it verbatim. What is the Great Commandment? Yeah, I think several of you got it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love people. That's not a suggestion. God's saying you want to belong to me, do that. And then the Great Commission is where this sending out, and I want to read it. If you don't know where this is, kind of memorize at least where this is. Matthew 28, the very end of Matthew 28. Verse 18 says, Jesus came, and this is the resurrected Christ. He's been resurrected, and he's speaking to his disciples before he sends back to the Father. He says, then Jesus came to them and said, now listen, this is really important. We miss this sometimes. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He's saying, you know what? I just did something pretty big here. This is what he's saying. You know, I died for your sins, and the grave couldn't hold me. Did you see that? Did you notice that? That's what he's saying. You know, I was dead. You remember that? 3 days, I was dead. And I was in the tomb for 3 days, and now I'm not. So he's saying, you saw that. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then the next word, y'all heard me say this before. The next word is therefore. Why is that there? Some of you have been listening. When you see the word therefore, you go back and you say, why is that word, what is it there for? He's saying, all power and authority has been given to me. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all people, all nations. So we function in the power of the Holy Spirit. He didn't say, you're on your own, go make some disciples. No, he says, all power has been given to me and authority has been given to me. Now you, because you're functioning in my power, in my authority, now go make disciples. Then he says in Acts chapter 1, right before he ascends to heaven, he says, you will receive power, there it is, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to the very ends of the earth. So we have his power and authority that we are functioning in, church. There was a man named William Tyndale, Tyndall, I think is how you pronounce it. He really a neat story, but this guy was the first man back in the 1500s. In 1525, he was the first man to translate the English Bible, the Bible into English, okay? And guess what? 11 years later, he was burned at the stake because he had translated the Bible into English. Why do you think that was? Yeah. The church saw that as a threat. Because if you get God's word out in the people's hands, they might actually read it for themselves and realize they've got a direct line to God through the Holy Spirit and through his word. We don't have to wait for the church to tell us what's right and what's wrong, whatever. We have a direct communication with the Father. He translated the Bible. He was burned at the stake in 1536. And here's what he said. The church is the one institution that exists for those outside of it. Think about it. Nowhere else is there any institution, organization, that exists for those outside of it. What is he saying? He's saying that we are to offer Christ. Because if we just come here as consumers, we've missed it. If we just come here to get our ticket, we've missed it. We exist in order for others to receive what we have already received. Dietrich Dietrich Bonhoeffer was another great man of God. In World War II, he was a Lutheran pastor in Germany. And all the atrocities were going on in Germany, and he actually fled. He and his family fled to out of Germany and got into safety, and was there just a short period of time. And said, "No, I've got to go back, because if I don't go through this with my people, my German people." If I don't go through it with them, I won't have any right to speak into their lives when it's over. So Bonhoeffer goes back to Germany knowing what probably awaited him. Sure enough, he was killed for his faith. He said it this way, the church is the church only when it exists for others. And this is a man who, both of these men, laid down their lives for others. Jesus says perfect love is when somebody lays down their life for their brother. That's perfect love. And he epitomized that through the cross. So church, I just want to challenge you today. I believe the Lord, you're going to get this from me often. Because for 30 years, I was raised in the church. If you've been here, you've heard my story. But I was raised in the church, and I don't know how I missed it, but somehow I thought the Christian journey was about being good, being a good person, going to church, being a moral person, and doing the right things, not doing the wrong things. That's not it at all. Even though those are important things, that's not the Christian life. The Christian life is understanding what God has done for us through Jesus Christ and sharing that with other people. So how are we doing with that, church? you know, probably the most well-known scripture is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. He gave. God is a giving God. He is a sacrificial God. He wants us to follow in his footsteps. So if you would, just bow your head with me. Father, we can never, ever repay the debt we owe you. We can never give as you have given. But Father, teach us how to follow your example. Teach us to love the harassed and helpless among us. Teach us to have a heart for the hurting. Teach us to set the things of this world aside and to pursue you with all our heart. To tell the world the hope that is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Christ, your love compels us. Forgive us when we fail you. Thank you that you're a patient and merciful God with us. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You stand as the praise team comes as we close today. If Jesus Christ is not Lord and Savior of your life, please come and seek me out. He wants to be. And it's the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. You'll never regret it as we close.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. Savior, I surrender all.
Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. A friend of mine is pastoring in a small town, never been on a tractor in his life. This fall, the I don't remember what crop it was, but it was ready to come in, and one of his parishioners didn't have enough tractors, enough people to go out and bring it in. So this friend of mine said, show me how. I'll sit on that tractor. I'll help you bring it in. The harvest is plentiful. They're out there hurting people all around us. The workers are few. Be one of the workers. Go and offer Christ. Be blessed in Jesus' name.
I surrender.